Let us continue with the reading of the scriptures in Mark chapter 8, the verses 1 to 21. During those days, another large crowd gathered, and since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I send them home hungry. They will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get some bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves and had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well, and he gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied, and afterwards the disciples picked up the 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present, and having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have ears but fail to see, and eyes but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Thus the reading of God's word. This passage, I forgot to mention before we started, is there's a sandwich here. You see the sandwiches in verse 11 through 12, and 11 through 13 in actuality. There's a sandwich of which something happens and the disciples get into the boat, and then there's this little piece in the middle which is somewhat separate. You have this confrontation with the Pharisees, and then we come back to the disciples who are in the boat. And so as we hear the word this morning, we're going to see in somewhat how this sandwich is being developed. Now, we have been working through the Gospel of Mark, and you remember the last time that I set up the geography of Oak Harbor and of this land according to the land of Israel and the land that Jesus was wandering through and moving about. We remember that Oak Harbor was Galilee. We remember that Coopville was the place where Jerusalem was, where the temple was. We remember that Santa Fuca was Jesus' home area where he was rejected. We remember that Anacortes was the land of Sidon, where Jesus healed this woman. And then the deaf and the dumb man occurred across the water, right from Oak Harbor, on the other side of the water over there on the mainland. That is the Decapolis, and that is where Jesus is right now. And so you remember that Jesus was rejected in his own country, in his own region, at the beginning of chapter 6. Then he sent out the 12, and they went all throughout Oak Harbor, and they gathered the people, they preached his name, they said that people should repent, they drove out demons, they anointed many sick people, and they all came out to him, and it was out there that Jesus fed the 5,000. 5,000 people responded to the teaching of Jesus, and he fed them bread from heaven out there in the wilderness. And after that, they tried to go to Bethsaida. They tried to go by boat after the feeding to Mount Vernon. In our geography region, they were going across the lake. They were crossing to a Gentile region, but they didn't make it across the lake because Jesus had some things that he had to teach them yet. And so, in chapter 7, we saw the confrontation with the clean and the unclean. Jesus landed once again in Oak Harbor because he did not make it all the way to Mount Vernon. And he landed there, and as he was there, he didn't go to the churches this time, but Jesus went to the marketplace. And the Pharisees saw those Gentiles and those disciples together, and they confronted Jesus that they needed to wipe themselves off of the dust of the ground, which they had touched according to the Gentiles. And so, after making their confrontation, After confronting the Gentiles with the clean and the unclean, Jesus left the region and he went to Anacortes. And it was there that he met the Syrophoenician woman. And here they were in this sinful town of Anacortes, in the sinful town of Sidon, where he was living. And this woman comes and bursts into the room, and she doesn't ask for the main course of the meal. She doesn't ask for the meal that the people of Israel had over there on the Gentiles or the Jewish side of the lake, but she only asks for the crumbs. She has faith that Jesus can drive out this demon out of her daughter. And so Jesus does. And then Jesus, in judgment once again to the people of Galilee and the people of Israel who have rejected him, goes across and he goes on the other side. And that's where the people brought him a deaf and a dumb man. And you remember that that is where the demon-possessed man was wandering through. He was preaching of what Jesus had done for him and how Jesus had driven that demon out of him. And the people came to him as a deaf and dumb man, and Jesus saw him. He saw that he could not hear. He saw that he could not speak. And he put spit in his ears and a spit on his tongue. And he said, "Ephphatha." And the man could hear the words of Jesus. And he could confess Jesus as his Savior. And so now we have come to the feeding of the 4,000. And you have seen how the passage is building up. There's no coincidence here that there wasn't a 5,000 feeding passage and then a 4,000 feeding passage. Because in between, there was a whole bunch of things that Mark wanted to teach us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the things that he wanted to teach us was the progression to the Gentiles. The feeding of the 5,000 occurred on the Jewish side. It occurred where people had the Old Testament, where they were expecting a Messiah. And when he tried to go to the Gentile side, they didn't make it this time. And so they had the clean and the unclean, and you saw the difference there between the two. They had to get that distinguished, that there's no clean and the unclean from the outside, but it's what on the inside. It's what's on the heart. And you see this demonstrated in this woman who lived in the land of Sidon. She comes to Jesus. She is a Gentile. She has no right to come to Jesus, but she comes right bursting into the room because she believes in Jesus. And then you see this with this deaf and this dumb man. Again, they have no right to bring this Gentile to this Jewish person, but Jesus heals him. And so Jesus is teaching them through this gradual progression that the food of heaven, that the bread of heaven is not only for the Jews, but this new kingdom, it is for the Gentiles. And so in chapter 8, we read that during those days, another large crowd had gathered. Now this demon-possessed man and this deaf and this dumb man, they had done their job. They had gone and they had told everybody what Jesus had done for them. And so when Jesus goes into this Decapolis, those people that had sent him away because he destroyed their pigs now gather as a crowd. And they're gathering around Jesus. And since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come from a long distance." Now notice, you have to notice what is different about this feeding of the 5,000 from the difference of the feeding of the 5,000. If you turn back to chapter 6, notice who calls to attention that the people are hungry. If you look back to chapter 6, verse 35, we read, "By this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him and they said, 'This is a remote place. It is already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" So here you see Jesus calling the disciples. Jesus is now calling it to the attention of the disciples that the people are hungry, that they don't have anything to eat. And before, the disciples went to Jesus and they had compassion on the people. They said, "These people are hungry. We need to send them away to buy food because they're hungry out here in this wilderness place." But now, Jesus says in verse 2, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days. They have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come for a long distance." So you see what's going on here is they are dealing with a different group of people. In the previous passage, they were dealing with Jews. And so the disciples saw that. They saw that these people had the Old Testament. They saw that these people responded to their preaching and teaching. So they had the compassion for these people. But what they didn't understand was when they were crossing the lake, they were supposed to go to a Gentile city. And now they are in a Gentile region, and you see that the disciples don't have compassion for these people because these people are Gentiles. They are on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they do not want to have compassion on these people. But Jesus makes it clear, I have compassion on these people. He calls it to the attention of the disciples because Jesus is revealing to them that the kingdom does not last only for Jews, but it also lasts for Gentiles. And so Jesus has called it to their attention. And notice how the disciples respond in verse 4. But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? It is so clear from their response where they are. Previously, they said, let us send them to the area towns and to the area villages where they can go and they can buy food and they can recover from their being out here in this wilderness. But right now, they are so far away, they are so far out in this desert that the disciples are saying, where in this remote place are we going to find anything? And notice something else which was revealed in the previous verses. In verse 2, they have been out there for 3 days. For 3 days, they have been out in this remote, in this wilderness place. For 3 days, these people, these Gentile people, have responded to Jesus, and Jesus has been preaching to them out there in this dry desert place for 3 days. Now, there's something specific about these 3 days that you need to understand, and it comes from the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 10. If you turn with me a moment to Exodus 19, verse 10. Now, what is going on here is the Ten Commandments, of course, comes in verse 20. And God is going to come down the mountain, and He's going to meet these people. Well, let's actually start at verse 9. Exodus 19, verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether a man or an animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may he go up to the mountain. And after Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. And then the people said, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. So what you see was going on there is before God was going to meet his people, before God was going to come down the mountain, the people had to consecrate themselves. They had to purify themselves from their clothes and from the various things that they had to do. And Moses helped them. And that's what happened before the people met God. And now these people are out there in this wilderness for 3 days, and they are away from the world. They are away from the temptations of the world, of the villages, of the places where they live, and they are living on bread from heaven. They are consecrating themselves. They are isolating themselves in that desert from all the sins which could be around them, and they're getting ready to meet Jesus, who is going to feed them. They are cleansing themselves. They are protecting themselves. They are not doing like the Pharisees who cleanse themselves on the outside with their clothes by wiping off all the dust and all the things and carefully washing their hands. But these people, they are cleansing their hearts. They are doing what the Pharisees were supposed to be doing, what Jesus told them. It is what comes out of the heart which makes a man unclean. And that's what these people have been doing for 3 days in the desert. The Pharisees and the people on the Jewish side, they have the Old Testament. They have the law of God. But Jesus here for 3 days is preaching them and he's teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. They are a new people of God. And now they are hungry. When Israel in the Old Testament was out in the desert, they became hungry. They became hungry for food. And now this new people, this new Israel, not only Jews, but also Gentiles have come, and they are hungry. And so his disciples say, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? We know from that verse that it is only by heavenly food that these people can eat. There is no chance. There is no villages. There is nowhere to buy food in this place. It is made so clear to us. And look what Jesus says. How many loaves do you have? Seven, they replied. You see here that Jesus is responding clearly that he knows what he's going to do. The disciples are helpless. Where are we going to get bread in this place? And Jesus says confidently, how many loaves do you have? Seven, they said. And then he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Now notice something very different about this passage compared to the previous one. Once again, if you turn back with me to chapter 6, you see in verse 39 that Jesus is directing them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. So what you see going on here is that in the old passage, as we showed the connection when I preached on that passage, the groups of fifties and hundreds was the way that Israel organized when they were sitting down in the desert. Exodus 18, when they were organizing and they were sitting as a people of God, they were organizing into groups of hundreds and of fifties. And now, once again, he's telling the crowd to sit down upon the ground, only he's not organizing them as the first Israel was organized. And so, when he had taken the seven loaves and had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well, and he gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. So Jesus has taken these loaves, he's taken these fish, and he has fed people not only on the Jewish side, but he's fed people on the Gentile side. He has fed these people who have responded to him by faith, who have heard the message of salvation preached by the demon-possessed man, preached by the deaf and the dumb man, and they have responded, and he has fed them bread from heaven. And there are leftovers. Notice at verse 8, the people ate and were satisfied. And after the disciples picked up the seven basketfuls of pieces that were left over, about 4,000 men were present. And Jesus sent them away. So you see that there are leftovers. In the first Israel, in the first people of God, there were no leftovers that were given. The people ate the manna, and the next day they had to go and get the manna again. But Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than the first manna. Jesus is greater than Moses, for there are leftovers. And there are seven basketfuls. There are basketfuls for other Gentiles. It is not just for these people, but there are more Gentiles who are going to come in. There are more people who are going to join the kingdom of heaven. And about 4,000 people were satisfied. Jesus satisfies them. Jesus makes them full. Excuse me. So, Jesus then, after feeding them, gets in the boat with his disciples, and he went to the region of Dalmanutha. Now, we know one thing about Dalmanutha. It is on the Jewish side of the lake. It is on the western side of Galilee, the western side of the sea. And it is on this side that Jesus runs into these Pharisees. Now, there is not an exact location of where the city is located, so I cannot make it on our visible map of Whidbey Island, because they're still researching that, where that possibly could be. But one thing we know is that it's on the Jewish side, and Jesus confronts the Pharisees. Now, these Pharisees come, and they began to question Jesus and to test him, so they asked for a sign from heaven. Now, one thing we know is that these Pharisees are not coming to Jesus like all these people did before. They're not coming like this woman who burst into the room because she knows that her daughter can be healed by Jesus. They are not coming like this deaf and dumb man who are wanting Jesus to heal him. These Pharisees are coming to test him. And what are they testing him of? If you turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, we'll find out. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, the verses 1 to 6. If you have a minute, you can turn with me. Deuteronomy chapter 13, the verses 1 to 6. God is here talking about a prophet. And it says that if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death, because if he preaches rebellion against the Lord your God who brought you from Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery, he has tried and turned you away from the Lord your God, commanded you to follow him. You must purge the evil among you. So if someone comes in the Old Testament Israel, according to the law, they have to see a sign. And when they see a sign, it has to come true. And if it doesn't come true, if they see a sign or a miracle or something, and that person leads them to believe in other gods, they have to put that person to death. Now what are they doing to Jesus? They think, these Pharisees, that Jesus is leading these people to believe in another God. Jesus is thinking that he is leading them away. They are thinking that Jesus is leading the people away from the Pharisees and the Old Testament law. He is challenging the law as he challenged it with the clean and the unclean. And so they want Jesus to do a miracle, to give a sign from heaven so that they can bring charges against him and kill him. And so in verse 12 we read that Jesus sighed. Now remember, the last time we saw a sigh. The last time we saw a sigh was in the previous chapter when Jesus sighed in verse 34. Chapter 7, verse 34. When the deaf and the dumb man came to him, Jesus looked up to heaven and had a deep sigh. Jesus sighs because the covenant curse which is upon this earth and this fallen world. He sighs because here's a man who has deformed ears, who has a deformed tongue, who cannot hear, who cannot speak. And that's not the way it's going to be in the kingdom of heaven. In the way of the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be no one like that. In the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be people who will be able to hear, who will be able to speak clearly. There won't be anyone like this. And so Jesus sighs. But now Jesus is sighing over these Pharisees, because these Pharisees are the deaf and the dumb man. These Pharisees have heard the message of Jesus, but they don't hear it. These Pharisees can talk all they want about the kingdom of God, but they're not speaking about Jesus. They can't confess his name. They are deaf and they are dumb, just as this man was once deaf and dumb. And so Jesus sighed. Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given it. The purpose of a miracle is not to produce faith. Sometimes when we look around us and we see Benny Hinn and different people trying to do miracles, then they're trying to do the miracles so that people will have faith. But that's not the purpose of a miracle. The purpose of a miracle is to confirm the messenger. When Moses came and he took his hand out of his side and there was leprosy there and he put it back and he came to the people, that sign confirmed the message that Moses was bringing to the people. When Elijah came and he raised that little girl, that was a sign to confirm that the message he spoke was the truth. Because the woman said, "Now I know that the word that the Lord has spoken, you have spoken, is the truth." But these people have it turned around. They don't want to see a sign or a miracle so they can have faith. They want to see a sign and a miracle so that they can confuse him. They're not like the paralytic who came through the ceiling and Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." They're not like the woman who came to Jesus on her knees praying that Jesus would heal her because she had faith. They're not like Jairus who came because his daughter was dying. These people want a sign and they don't have faith. And because they don't have faith, because they want to kill Jesus, because they don't believe in his message, because they don't repent and believe that the kingdom has come and that it is fulfilled in Jesus, Jesus gives them no sign and he leaves them. And the judgment goes back upon these people. 4,000 Gentiles have responded to the message of Jesus. He has fed them out in this Gentile region. They have spent 3 days leaving everything behind to be with Jesus. And now these people reject him. And the judgment of those 4,000 who worshiped Jesus out there and who ate bread from heaven is upon these Pharisees. They don't see what those people see. And so Jesus leaves them behind. He got back into the boat and crossed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring some bread except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. And Jesus said, "Be careful," warning them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." Now, the word there in the NIV is yeast, but in most other translations you will find the word leaven. The ancient Hebrews always, when they made their bread, always used a piece of the former bread or the former leaven that they mixed in with the new bread. And so what you have here is something old that is trying to be mixed in with the new. And Jesus is telling them to watch out for that leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, because that leaven could infect this kingdom, and that leaven could destroy the kingdom that I'm bringing. What is the leaven of the Pharisees? The leaven of the Pharisees is that they are waiting for a Messiah. They are waiting for an earthly kingdom where they can rule from Jerusalem, the entire world. The leaven of the Pharisees is that they are outwardly clean. They are carefully washing themselves and doing all these rituals to make sure that they are clean. But they never get there. It is that leaven, it is that outward cleansiness, it is that outward glory for the kingdom of Israel which could destroy this new kingdom. And the leaven of the Herodians is they live for world power and for pleasure. The Herodians want to also rule the world. They represent Rome, who are ruling the nation of Israel. And the Herodians, as we saw in the wedding banquet of Herod, they are trying to live for pleasure. They are the ones who had the dance and the banquet and the girl who danced for Herod and all of his guests. They are the ones who were partying and who were drunk and who were living up their life. They live for the world's pleasure. That is the leaven of the Pharisees. And Jesus is telling the disciples who are in this boat, and you remember that the disciples represent the church, and the disciples are in this boat, and the disciples are crossing the water, and the water around them represents death and dying. If they fall into the water, they will die. They will be swallowed up, as we have studied in the past. Jesus is warning them to watch out for those things. He is warning the church to watch out for Pharisees. He is warning the church to watch out for people who try to demonstrate that they are clean on the outside and that they are so godly and that they are so righteous. And he is telling the church to watch out for people who live for worldly pleasure and for worldly things. Watch out for them, because if you hold on to those things in your life, it is going to affect all the other areas of your life. It is going to destroy the kingdom of heaven. It is going to destroy the work of Christ, which has already started to happen in you. Now, nothing can destroy the work of Christ, of course, because Christ is sovereign, because he is the one who saves us and directs us. Yet if we hold on to this old leaven, if we hold on to these old things, it can quickly spread throughout the rest of us. Jesus talks about that in the book of Matthew, where the woman is kneading the yeast, and Jesus says the yeast can quickly go throughout all the bread and destroy all of the bread. And that's what Jesus is warning about here. Watch out for their leaven. Watch out for those old things that can destroy the church, that can destroy you. And so what did the disciples do? They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." They are taking Jesus literally. They are saying that Jesus is only talking about bread. They think that Jesus is only talking about bread that they didn't take with them and that they don't have enough bread to feed each other because they only have one loaf. They don't understand. And so Jesus, being aware of their discussion in this boat, asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have ears but fail to see? And eyes that fail to see and ears that fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they reply. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up? 7, they answered. Then he said to them, do you still not understand? What is the matter with you disciples? There were 12 baskets left on the Jewish side. They represent the new Israel. But the new Israel goes even farther. Turn, if you will, with me a minute to Mark chapter 13. Ahead a couple chapters. To Mark 13, verse 27. Mark 13, 27. This is writing about the end of the age and the end of time. There Jesus says, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds of heaven, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. He's talking about the four winds of heavens, the gathering of the Gentiles. There are 4,000 Gentiles who have gathered here. Jesus is going to send out his angels, and the 4,000 Gentiles are going to gather before him. And so Jesus is showing the disciples through both of these feedings that the kingdom of heaven is not just belonging to the 12 tribes of Israel, as he fed, although they are a new Israel, but the kingdom of heaven also belongs to the Gentiles. To the 4,000 Gentiles who have come from the four winds of heaven, who have gathered before Jesus, who he has just fed, and who the disciples have fed. Jesus is showing that the new creation is even greater than the old. For in the old and in the previous lesson, there were 12 basketfuls picked up representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and now there are 7. 7 representing a new creation, a new kingdom of heaven. There were 7 days that God created the world. There was a new creation, and now there are 7 basketfuls. 7 is a complete number. The kingdom of heaven was not complete with the 12 that were ministered to out in the feast in the 5,000, but there were also the Gentiles. This kingdom goes beyond Jews. It also goes to Gentiles. And so this kingdom is filled with people who have faith. These 4,000 Gentiles had more faith. They left everything. They left everything and went out for 3 days in the wilderness and were ministered to him and were learning from him. They left everything for Jesus. And it was Jesus who had compassion on them. It was Jesus who's instructing the disciples that the kingdom of heaven is not just for the Jewish side, but the kingdom of heaven is for the Gentiles also. But the disciples still don't see it. Do you see? Did you recognize the words in verses 17 to 19? Did you recognize the words there? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Do you recognize those words from previously? They come from Mark 4. After the parable of the sower, Jesus quotes in Mark 4, verse 12, they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving. They may be ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Those are the Pharisees, and Jesus is connecting this back to those Pharisees. You see the sandwich taking place here. There's something that we need to see what was going on. And the connection is that these disciples, representing the church, are acting very much like these Pharisees. Jesus is comparing them to what he said in Mark chapter 4. They saw Jesus feeding. They even participated in it with the feeding of the 5,000. They saw what Jesus did. It was clear to them in the feeding of the 4,000. But they still failed to see. And so Jesus rebukes them. Do you still not understand? But there's one difference between these disciples and between these Pharisees, and that is that Jesus is with them. Jesus is with them in that boat. He's warning them. Watch out for their yeast. Watch out for the leaven. Watch out for the worldly pleasures of the Herodians, which can infect your life, which can destroy you, which can overtake you. Watch out for the Pharisees who tried outwardly to be part of the kingdom of God. Watch out for those things. But I'm with you, And even though these disciples fail, even though they still don't see, even though Jesus rebukes them for not understanding, he is still with them. And he is still teaching them. And he is with them in that boat as they are crossing that water. Jesus is still with his people. They don't necessarily know fully who he is. They wish they had a straightforward explanation, but Jesus has not fully told them because they don't understand. The Pharisees came forward and they said, "Give us a sign from heaven." And the disciples have seen all kinds of signs. The disciples have even done some of the signs, but they still don't see. And one thing that the disciples have failed to see, probably more than any other, is the one loaf that they had with them in the boat in verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is not full of 12 loaves, full of 7 loaves. The kingdom of heaven is one loaf. And that one loaf is Jesus. Jesus is with his church in that boat. And we as his people, as Jews and as Gentiles who have gathered with him, we feast on that one loaf. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of heaven. He is with us in our boat as we are driving, as there is death and destruction all around us, as we were just talking. And even though we fail sometimes to see and to hear, even though sometimes we go back to that leaven of Herod, to that leaven of the Pharisees, to our old sins, to our old pleasures, Jesus is still with us. And when we celebrate communion, the bread of heaven is brought to us symbolically by Jesus. We feast upon him because he is the true loaf. And so the question you have to ask is, where are you fitting in? Are you like those Gentiles who went out there and who left everything to be with Jesus, who he fed out there in the wilderness, who took all of the worldly pleasure, whatever it was around them, and they went out in that wilderness to that desert place where there was no chance of buying food, and all they needed in their life was Jesus? Or are you like these people who are sitting in the boat and who still don't see? You've been given signs. You've heard the word of God. You come to church. You do all of these things. But are you still understanding? Are you still getting it? Are you fully knowing? Are you putting your faith in Jesus? Are you feasting upon him? Are you holding on to those sins? Are you letting the leaven infect your life? And is it overcoming you? Faith in Jesus. Faith that he is in control, that he watches over us, is what makes us pure. Amen. Father in heaven, there are many times that we wonder whether we fully see and whether we fully understand, because things happen to us in our life where we wonder, Lord, why did that happen? And Lord, we know the kingdom of heaven. We know that Jesus is before us. Yet sometimes we question like the disciples. We look at things in our life and we understand them literally, but we don't understand them, what they mean as far as the kingdom of heaven goes. And Father, what a blessing this passage is for us. That you came not only for Jewish people, but you came for us, the Gentiles. That you have fed us bread from heaven, that we belong to you. Father, help us to look for the one true loaf who is with us in our lives, who is with us in our boat as we wander in this wilderness. Help us to trust in him with all of our heart. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.